meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. I'm Father Anthony, your brother. I share with you the distress, the kingdom, and the endurance we have in Christ Jesus, always borrowing the words from St. John as he opens the book of Revelation. So, Tony, how are you?
I'm all right.
You're okay.
All right.
Why should this day be different? Any different from any other day? And Nick is going to be running back and forth here, so we got a little bit of issues here in the studio. But anyway, welcome everybody. It's good to be here. Today's Tuesday, right?
Tuesday.
It is Tuesday, and we're in that period between the Ascension and Pentecost. So that's that 9-day period where we really get the whole tradition of novenas, the 9 days of prayer. It dates back to the 9 days the apostles were sent. And this was after the Ascension, and the angel says, you know, what are you, you're dumbfounded and astonished. They're looking into the sky. Jesus had just ascended. He said, go to all the nations, preach repentance of sin, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and make disciples of all nations. And so they're staring in the sky, and the angel says, what are you doing? He's not going to come back until, he'll come back as he left, but at the appointed time, but it's not going to be in your time. And so be about the work, get into the mission. But they had to, they weren't prepared yet. They hadn't been infused with the Holy Spirit, and so they went. The apostle says that they prayed for 9 days in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary and others until Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given. They were infused with the Spirit of God, and that began the church's mission. They would have begun already the celebration of the sacraments, and here we are, 2,000 years later. And sometimes we're still looking up into the sky and wondering, and we should be about the business, or the mission, I should say, the mission of the church, each and every one of us, disciples of Christ, giving witness to the kingdom that has come but is not fully realized. And we can perhaps talk about that a little bit. What does it mean to be in the kingdom of God? What does it mean to witness to his kingdom? But before we do that, we will pray in the company of the Blessed Virgin Mary as the apostles did those 9 days, and as the church has done already for 2,000 years. Again, Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin, just as with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, are not frozen in the pages of sacred Scripture. They're very much present in their own mysterious way, as we're still in the exile, but they're ever conscious and actually closer to us than we are to ourselves. So let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, our Lord. Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Christ, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Christ, hear us.
Christ, graciously hear us.
God, the Father of heaven,
have mercy on us.
God, the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy on us.
God, the Holy Ghost,
have mercy on us.
Holy Trinity, one God,
have mercy on us.
Holy Mary,
pray for us.
Holy Mother of God,
pray for us.
Holy Virgin of Virgins,
pray for us.
Mother of Christ,
pray for us.
Mother Divine Grace,
pray for us.
Mother Most Pure,
pray for us.
Mother Most Chaste,
pray for us.
Mother Inviolate,
pray for us.
Mother Undefiled,
pray for us.
Mother Most Amiable,
pray for us.
Mother Most Admirable,
pray for us.
Mother of Good Counsel,
pray for us.
Mother of our Creator,
pray for us.
Mother of our Savior,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Prudent,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Venerable,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Renowned,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Merciful,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Faithful,
pray for us.
Mirror of Justice,
pray for us.
Seat of Wisdom,
pray for us.
Cause of our Joy,
pray for us.
Spiritual Vessel,
pray for us.
Vessel of Honor,
pray for us.
Singular Vessel of Devotion,
pray for us.
Mystical Rose,
pray for us.
Tower of David,
pray for us.
Tower of Ivory,
pray for us.
House of Gold,
pray for us.
Ark of the Covenant,
pray for us.
Gate of Heaven,
pray for us.
Morning Star,
pray for us.
Health of the Sick,
pray for us.
Refuge of Sinners,
pray for us.
Comfort of the Afflicted,
pray for us.
Help of Christians,
pray for us.
Queen of Angels,
pray for us.
Queen of Patriarchs,
pray for us.
Queen of Prophets,
pray for us.
Queen of Apostles,
pray for us.
Queen of Martyrs,
pray for us.
Queen of Confessors,
pray for us.
Queen of Virgins,
pray for us.
Queen of All Saints,
pray for us.
Queen conceived without original sin,
pray for us.
Queen assumed into Heaven,
pray for us.
Queen of the Most Holy Rosary,
pray for us.
Queen of the Family,
pray for us.
Queen of Peace,
pray for us.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
spare us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
graciously hear us, O Lord.
Lamb of God, who takest away the sins of the world,
have mercy on us.
Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. O Most Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, at this most critical time we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. Most Holy Mother, we beg you to reclaim this land for the glory of your Son. Overwhelmed with the burden of the sins of our nation, we cry to you from the depths of our hearts and seek refuge in your motherly protection. Look down with mercy upon us and touch the hearts of our people. Open our minds to the great worth of human life and of the responsibilities that accompany human freedom. Free us from the falsehoods that lead to the evil of abortion and threaten the sanctity of family life. Grant our country the wisdom to proclaim that God's law is the foundation on which this nation was founded, and that He alone is the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. O merciful Mother, give us the courage to reject the culture of death and the strength to build a new culture of life. Trusting in your most powerful intercession, we pray, remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, Yet never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession, was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of virgins, our mother. To thee do we come. Before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer us. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. All right. So we're called to give witness to the kingdom, witness to Christ, and for that we need, of course, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which is something that we should be doing every day. I don't know if people are conscious of it. Many are, but that as we pray, our prayers are Trinitarian, so ours is a one God, a Trinitarian God, three persons in one God. In fact, we celebrate, we just celebrated the Ascension, then we will celebrate Pentecost, the birthday of the church, this coming Sunday. And then the following Sunday is the Feast of the Holy Trinity. So it brings the whole Easter season to a close. Officially, the season closes with the Feast of Pentecost. And then, of course, as I say, it's a reminder that we are to be imbued with the Spirit of God. And certainly if we participate in the life of the church, the sacramental life of the church, and we pray and open our hearts to nurture and cultivate an intimacy with God, asking the Lord to live in us. You know, it's really like as John says, I decrease and he increase, John the Baptist. Or as Jesus says, lose yourself and you'll find yourself. You lose yourself, you find Jesus, you find yourself. Die to yourself and you'll live. We find Christ who is life and we live. We allow him to live in us, abide in us. And the fact that we participate in the sacred mysteries of the faith and the Holy Eucharist and the Holy Mass, it's where we renew our covenant with God, with the Lord, through Jesus to the Father, but by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're fed with the Word of God, and then we offer our lives a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, our spiritual worship, as St. Paul says, in order then to receive Christ in the Eucharist, his body, his blood, his soul, and divinity, so that we can then be a people living the mission, imbued, renewed in the Spirit, and receive the very life of Jesus into our lives, so that as we go through the course of the day, one day at a time, through the course of the week, we should be conscious of the fact that we are his disciples. We are to give witness. We are to set an example. We are to be authentic Christians. So the question is, what do you do? How are you conscious of who you are? What do you do to give witness to Christ in you, in word or in word and in deed, really, in word and in deed, right? In what we say, in what we do. How do we give witness, each of us, in our own state of life? As a priest, I have a certain obligation, certain responsibilities. I have to be certainly disposed always to allow God possession of my life. And this is, I think, the issue with all of us, is that we know how we can get in the way. We can become an impediment or a barrier to the Spirit moving through us, and we may not be conscious of how God is really working in us and through us. Conscious to a certain extent, but to what extent are people able to find, experience, come to know, to love, and to serve the Lord through me or through you, Tony, or through anybody? You know, all mm-hmm. of us who are baptized and have received the Holy Eucharist and have been confirmed, we have an obligation. We're to be, we're as the old, they used to say, which I think today it's an idea that's coming back quite strongly because of the nature of our society, radically secularized, and the cultural Catholicism is just doesn't, it's not there to the extent that it was, you know, many decades ago already, you know. We're going through the great apostasy, the going away from the faith. And so the it's we're really bound to consciously open our lives to know or to allow Jesus possession so that he can choose how he chooses how he's going to work in us and through us. There are certain givens. What do you think as far as if somebody says to you, any of you, but I got Tony right here. Mm-hmm. So, if somebody says, if you're in a discussion with somebody or whatever, how do you perceive yourself living in the Spirit of God?
That's an interesting question.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
I mean, what is interesting is that I really think at times I don't see that. I don't perceive the Lord working through me, but I know what I want to do and what I look to is the example in others. You know, like, I look at you, Father. You're a priest. I mean, I if you're a bad priest or you're a priest that's not... I don't know how to say it. You're not, I look to that example through others, and what I do hope in, I guess in a real roundabout way, I guess I don't realize when God works through me, but I hope that he does.
Right.
And when he does, or, you know, when it's a situation where, I personally have a lot of people that, you know, like to hear me speak in an odd way, like to unburden themselves, and
sure,
you know, and I tend to, you know, being the person I am, I'm not always on the straight and narrow like I should be, but I always lately question that I'm being portrayed, and I'm, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm hoping people look at me and they say, oh, here's somebody that goes to church, here's somebody that knows about God, here's somebody that in a sense sometimes could counsel me the right way. Or, you know, kind of understands what I go through.
Yeah, so that's actually a good response, because we're called to stand apart, to stand apart, to be in the, as last week we were talking about this, but we're in the world but not of the world.
Right.
Because we know where we're going, because we know our destiny. We're created by God for God, and we're not people who escape the realities of life. We get down into the we get into the trenches, right? We fight the good fight, but we're to be in the world again, but not of the world. But we love life. We love the world. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save the world. And so we're, you know, on a day to day basis, to the extent that we pray, because we have to be have to create that sensitivity to God. Because otherwise we're just going to get swept away, the distractions and the noise of the world and all that. And that's a battle every day for all of us. And that's why we have to set time apart for prayer, or not just time apart for prayer, but as Scripture says, to pray unceasingly, which means being really open always to the inner working of God's Spirit.
See, I think that for me in the last years or so has been a thing that happens. I mean, if I'm in, when I'm in prayer, or, you know, I'm in front of the Blessed Sacrament and I sit, and I got to admit, there's moments when I'm not very conscious that the Lord is working through me, but it's interesting when you think about it later on, how he puts different people in my path. And, you know, I could easily say, and I think this is probably something I've had an issue with most of my life, is, you know, you could turn around and say, well, I have no time to hear your talk. I have no time to talk to you. I have no time to counsel you. But I tend to be that one that listens. Right. And then it's almost, you know, I kind of liken it to a confession in a sense. People feel that, you know, they can, and then when I devote time to just listening and, you know, maybe there's something I could, and that's the thing too, in the last years that I've come to, by knowing my fate, I know how to say things to people that, you know, they might not be thinking of or they might not know, and then, you know.
So as you said, and I think this is the case with most of us, is you're not completely conscious of how God is working to you, but God,
you know,
obviously, you know, He is. And people, they'll gravitate toward you because they recognize you as a man of faith. You know yourself. We all know ourselves. We know, that's why we say, all of us, before we receive Holy Communion, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Say but only the word, my soul be healed. So it's we come always, we're aware of our own imperfections, our rough edges, our sins, the little things every day, the sins of omission, things we could do that we don't do. You know, we're always at battle with ourselves, we're at battle with the world. But we know that apart from God, and this is certainly we've had enough discussion about this, but to try to conceive of life without God is inconceivable. And so the fact that we daily seek to nurture that relationship, that that intimacy with God, which is really far exceeds anything we feel, but it's the knowledge of God. And so allowing God possession of our lives, allowing the Lord to abide within us, certainly by the fact that, by the virtue of the fact that we receive Holy Communion and that we pray, then we become, as Jesus says, you become the leaven. You become a light in the darkness, the leaven, the salt of the earth. And people, they perceive, they know. And so it is, like you said, a little bit of a confession. You know, like people may, you know, they feel this confidence that they're able to unburden themselves, or they're able to ask questions, you know, that they normally, because it's amazing how many people are absolutely afraid to talk about faith, or even to admit that they, you know, would want relationship with God, or that they would want to be more religious, more faithful, more to truly invest themselves into the faith. It's amazing, isn't it, the fear that people have about that, which is something, we'll take a break and we'll come back and maybe speak a little bit about that as well, because I think even people who are invested in the faith at times also are fearful. You know, I always tell people so often, when we speak about Christ, do we speak about someone out there? I use the, and Nick, we're going to go right into the break, but I just use, just before the break, just end with this, the blind man. I find that story so fascinating when he cries out, son of David, have pity on me. Now, I'm not sure if this is the one, there's many instances of this in the gospel, but the point is that Jesus gave this blind man, he was born blind, he gave him his sight. It happened on the Sabbath, and then Jesus went on, and the Pharisees came up and they said, who did this to you? Who gave you your sight? This is the Sabbath. Who gave you your sight? Were you really born blind? And everybody knew and all that. And he says, well, that man they called Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so they were harassing this man. And then at the end of the day, Jesus heard that he was being harassed. And he came to the blind man who can now see. And it's there that there is this, basically what happens is the eyes of his soul were opened. And now it's no longer that man they called Jesus, but he became in that instant a follower of Jesus. So there was the beginning of this with this encounter, a personal relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. He became a follower of Jesus. So I think, you know, it's for all of us to try to come to that level of comfort where we can speak about Jesus Christ as one who has changed my life, has taken hold of my life, as, again, it's inconceivable to imagine life without God. Like, there is no life apart mm-hmm. from God. When we come to that realization, then to want to be able, or how we speak, to get die to the fear, I suppose, and just be able to speak about this reality that is within me, because that's what people are drawn to, you know. What is it that makes you? What makes you? From where comes your peace? Where do you get your strength? From where comes your joy? Mm-hmm. And as I say always, even within the midst of suffering, and that we can, we immediately point to God. And people do this more often than not. I don't think they're conscious of it, but it's when that it really, really God becomes, when life is inconceivable without God, and we depend on God on a day-to-day basis, that we're beginning to unconsciously give witness to this Christ that is within us, the Messiah. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back on Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
There is a lot to learn at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, where faith, virtue, and valor is the Academy's motto. For that motto expresses the values your child will learn here. Stop by St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy's website at ststanschicago.org. There you can meet the teachers, see the preschool, see the school's top academics, the science lab, and the Catholic faith. You will learn what our families have to say about St. Stan's. While you're on the site, you can schedule a tour to see St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. So rather than hear me talk and talk, go to ststanschicago.org and learn all about it.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the 3 pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. So we're talking today about, as we're in this 9-day period between Ascension, the Ascension of our Lord into heaven, and the Feast of Pentecost, which is the birthday of the church. And it's really quite fascinating that I say fascinating, maybe that's not the right word, but what's interesting to me mm-hmm. that so many Christians find, they struggle with our, as Catholics, and I would say, and this would be, could be said of the Orthodox Church, Greek, Russian, Syrian, our devotion to the Mother of God, the fact that we pray to Mary, we ask her to intercede on behalf of us, that we keep her very much not just close to us, but that we bear her in our hearts. She's our mother, and yet, in the Acts of the Apostles, the apostles were in those 9 days from the Ascension to Pentecost. They prayed those 9 days in the company together with the Mother of God, who became Mother of the Church. Mother of God, because she was the mother of Jesus, and Jesus is God.
So that is interesting. And again, I have to speak because I don't know if it's new to me, what you just said. I know it's not new to me, but just thinking about that and then thinking about how others say, well, you know, you spend all this time with Mary and it's Jesus we should be going to. And I look at that statement and I say, oh, wow, okay. Or the statement where Jesus says, you know, this is your mother. And how Our Lady is so important to the story.
Sure.
And in the company of the apostles in prayer. I mean, to me, I guess I'm just that guy that you cannot tell me that Our Lady is not important.
Hey, listen, so that goes back to what you just said a little while ago, mm-hmm. you know, when you, about how do we give witness?
Right.
And you said that, I don't know quite, and all of us, I don't think any of us fully perceive, are able to perceive how God is working through us. In some ways, yes, of course.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, as we're going through the course of a day, but that we look to others.
Yeah.
You know, we look to others. And that's why, you know, the mystical body of Christ, the church.
Mm-hmm.
So we look to each other. Even the blood, it occurred to me. So we certainly look to Mary because she's the mother of Jesus Christ, the mother of God. Mm-hmm. And she's not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture. And that's why we look to the saints as well, because these are people who lived the faith and gave witness in their time. And so we want to know, how did they do it? How did they live it? We look and we look to each other right now, today. We need each other. We're not entities unto ourselves. We're part of this body, the church, whose head is Jesus Christ. But even the Blessed Virgin Mary, you know, when she, at the Annunciation, when she gave her consent, her fiat, her assent to do the will of God, to bear the Messiah, conceived by the Holy Spirit, to bear the Messiah to the world. And she was told that her cousin Elizabeth, because Mary, the Blessed Mother, said, well, how can this be since I know not man? And the angel Gabriel said, but the Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and you will conceive. And the angel said that your cousin Elizabeth has in her old age, she who is barren, has conceived herself. In a natural way, the forerunner to the Messiah, John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. And so the Blessed Virgin Mary went to Elizabeth immediately. We call this the visitation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening there, really? It's to me, it's just fascinating because it's really what happens. You know, we live in a spirit of visitation. We need to be reminded, we need to have somebody. In other words, so the Mother of God went to Elizabeth. There was no telephone, there was no internet, there was no email, no airplane, no. So she had to make quite a journey, right?
Right.
So she went to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth said, "Who am I that the Mother of my Lord should come to me? For the moment your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped for joy in my womb." And what's happening there is really quite fascinating, is that Elizabeth, St. Elizabeth, confirms for Mary, the Blessed Virgin, that indeed this is of God. And the Blessed Virgin Mary is confirming for Elizabeth that indeed this is of God, her conceiving in her old age, she who was barren, Mary conceiving by the power of the Holy Spirit. So these are two women of faith in the visitation who confirm for each other that God is, that this is truly, in fact, God working. Now, if you follow me, what I'm saying, it goes back to what you said. We look to each other.
Mm-hmm.
God is, we need that affirmation. We need that confirmation from each other. We need witness from each other. So I think the first, in fact, it's interesting, the gospel today, let me just pull this out right now, because this is really interesting. It relates to this as well. This is the high priestly prayer. First of all, does that make sense what I'm saying about the visitation? Okay, so even, the apostles, the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Joseph, everybody down through history, everybody who's ever lived the faith, who's ever been an instrument in the hand of God, they've needed the affirmation and the confirmation of others confirm that this is, that we're acting properly in the Spirit of God, because there are all kinds of spirits out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Jesus, in his prayer to the Father, he says, this is right after he institutes the Holy Eucharist and he gave his farewell discourse to the apostles. This is before, right before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is the gospel reading for today, actually. And Jesus, which is being read throughout the world, in every Catholic church throughout the world, which is, again, that's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. Isn't it the universality, really, truly the universality of the church, that we're all listening to the same gospel? The Pope is, the Pope Francis, the Holy Father, is reading the same gospel today in Asia, in South America, in Africa, in Europe, here in the United States. We're all listening to the same Word of God, the same gospel. So the gospel for today throughout the Catholic world is, well, Jesus is in, it's just a bit of his high priestly prayer before he goes to Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Give glory to your Son so that your Son may glorify you, just as you gave him authority over all people, so that your Son may have give eternal life to all who you gave him. Now, this is eternal life, that you should know that they should know you, the only true God, and the one whom you sent, Jesus Christ. I glorified you on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do. Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began. I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. Again, we're in the world, but not of the world. So I revealed your name to those whom you gave me out of the world. They belonged to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you gave me is from you, because the words you gave me I have given to them. And they accepted them and truly understand that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for the ones you have given me, because they are yours, and everything of mine is yours, and everything of yours is mine, and I have been glorified in them, and now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world while I am coming to you. So that's part of the high priestly prayer. But Jesus will go on to say, and I've mentioned this many, many times on the radio, because I think it's so beautiful. They are your gift to me, and I thank you. And I'm asking you not to take them out of the world yet, but do protect them from the evil one. But the point is, and I pray for them, not for the world, but for them. Well, certainly Jesus, he died. He was the atonement, the expiation, the holocaust, taking to himself our sins on Calvary in order to redeem us, to save us, to prove himself, or to show himself a God of the only God that is the only God, but God who is empathetic, compassionate, full of mercy, slow to anger, as the scripture says over and over in different ways, but also very demanding, right? Because he's not a permissive God, he's a demanding God. And so, but I pray for them, not for the world, but for these who will follow me, because I've revealed to them you, Father, and they've come to believe the which again goes back to this the witness that we give to the world is that we have life in Christ, and Christ, His life is in us, and it's so we have to we need each other. We need to look to each other, as you said, Tony, and as was witnessed in the visitation, as a way of confirming one for another that indeed this is God who has acted in your life, in my life, and others' lives. And this gives us that this is the power of the, this is why the to the extent that we authenticate the faith, that we live with authenticity, our faith, which is so important now in this world that is passing to, the church is passing through this great, great apostasy. I think I'm the only one that speaks about it. I really do. I don't hear anybody speak about the apostasy. But an apostasy is a going away, going away. And we got to stay with Him in order to give witness, to make others, to be that leaven, to be the light, to give others an opportunity as people would gravitate toward you because they know you're a man of God and they, for whatever reason, haven't invested themselves into the faith, but somehow through your witness, through you being a man of faith, right, unapologetically, and it's the manner in which you live, the manner in which you speak, that you do go to Mass, you do pray, this does inspire others. Now, because everybody is made by God for God. Mm-hmm. The law of God is written into our hearts. So if we are, unfortunately, by nature, a rebellious people. And so in order to appease the conscience, we have to project our own hostility toward God and toward His disciples, His followers, if we're not willing to humbly submit to the truth that is written into our hearts. But people know, and I tell you, I really believe this is why Ash Wednesday is the one day of the year, probably more than Easter and Christmas, yeah, when people come to Mass. Mm-hmm. And I have a theory on that, because on Ash Wednesday, that's the beginning of Lent, the priest will say, as he imprints the ashes on the forehead, "Remember, man, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Turn away from sin, be faithful to the gospel." I have a theory that people come because at least they're acknowledging that, okay, I've been away, I'm lukewarm, or maybe I've been hostile. Deep down I know. And so I come to acknowledge that, yes, I am a sinner, and I come from God, and I go to God. I will return that my body from man, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I just think that that's because deep down, people, and it's, and only by the grace of God we know how people will come to know and accept. And this is where we can really mess it up for people. We were talking about that the other day. We can, and that's what we say, we have to pray every day, "Lord, please, because I know myself, I know, we know our natural inclinations, we know how lazy we are, we know how we may not know the seductive power of the devil or his deceptions or his illusions, but we know that most of the world, most people allow themselves to be seduced and deceived and to go buy into the illusion, and because it's an immediate fix, right? It gives us it's idolatry, but it's an immediate fix. It gives us because God's way is not an easy way. It's not an easy way, and we have to bear this responsibility, fulfill this obligation. And it's not only for love of God and for the greater glory of God and in gratitude to God for what God has done for us, but it's also that I am for you an example, that I'm, again, die to myself. Jesus, you die to yourself, that I live in you. You live, but I, or St. Paul says, it's not I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. I don't want to draw people to myself. I want to draw them to Jesus Christ. because he's life. Yeah. He's the life. God is life. I am not the life. You know, but yet we have life unto eternity, so long as we cleave to Him and stay with Him, and we've got to be that witness, as Jesus says. You know, what did He say? I just read that in the Gospel. Now I will no longer be in the world, but they are in the world, while I am coming to you. And so He says, I pray for them, not for the world, but for them, that you protect them, that you keep them united. And see, we mess it up because we've so divided. The greatest scandal is the divisions within the church, and yet it's understood because we're so terribly egocentric, so terribly full of pride, full of ourselves. I always say, you know, the Reformation, the root of the Reformation was pride. God will work things out. God will take from the darkness light. He will bring light out of darkness. He will bring good out of evil. He brings life out of death. So when the church goes astray, when the church, collectively speaking, her members, it could be even those in the episcopacy and the priesthood, if they succumb to the ways of the world, seduced, deceived, buy into the illusion, if we're not grounded in Scripture, if we're not daily praying, and so much, that's what we've got to absolutely safeguard, our time in prayer. Let nothing disturb that time in prayer. Or if something or someone should disturb that, then we take that as the work of the Spirit. But we find that time, and we learn that we've got to pray unceasingly, because otherwise we're going to succumb to the ways of the world, or we're going to, you know, our discernment in life is going to be skewed. Mm-hmm. Skewed. You know, we got to be imbued, allow ourselves to be imbued with the Spirit of God. Test all spirits, you know. So I'm kind of deviating here, I think, but you get the point I'm making. Yeah. Is that this witness is so needed, so important today, and God, I truly believe, is trying to awaken us, you know. So as the world is being woke to so many things,
yeah,
that are really contrary to the natural order of things, or, you know, meant to divide rather than unite, God is saying, wake up, you people. You know, you, my people. You know, Father, I pray for them, not for the world, but for them. Protect them from the evil one. Protect them from seduction and deception and illusion, and also from the accusing power of the enemy, which will keep him down. Say, I'm not worthy of, none of us are worthy of God, but the Lord doesn't wait for our perfection. He says, no. I want you to get into this mission. If we're not giving witness in the world, then where are people going to go? To whom do they turn?
Mm-hmm.
So these little things that happen on a day-to-day basis, or maybe, you know, every so often somebody comes to you and they, you know, they want to bare their soul, or they want to they question what. This is all, you know, part of the mission. This is, so it's not, you know, that you got to be Mother Teresa on the world stage, you know, it's everybody has an opportunity to give witness in the most humble ways, and it really, there has to be humility, because without humility, it kind of inauthenticates, and yet we know that we're the root of all evil is the root of all sin is pride, and we are proud people. That's why we have to humbly come before the Lord and say, no, Lord, keep me humble, help me to be humble. So that it's not me, but you who live in me. This is the goal of the Christian life, because people, if we're not wake, if God doesn't need the masses. In fact, He said the night before He died, He says, "My little flock, don't be afraid. I'm not going to leave you orphans." He didn't say big flock. My little flock. Mm-hmm. Again, the leaven. So anyway, I'm rambling here. We're going to take a break. It's not. I'm not rambling. This is all.
No, it's what needs to be said.
It's got to be said, because we got. Right. This is wake up time, right?
Yeah.
This is wake up time.
I think Nick will get this reference. It's all part of the plan.
Part of the plan. Whatever. All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back and wrap up. This is Father Anthony, and you're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
There is a lot to learn at St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy, where faith, virtue, and valor is the Academy's motto, where that motto expresses the values your child will learn here. Stop by St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy's website at ststanschicago.org. There you can meet the teachers, see the preschool, see the school's top academics, the science lab, and the Catholic faith. You will learn what our families have to say about St. Stan's. While you're on the site, you can schedule a tour to see St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. So rather than hear me talk and talk, go to ststanschicago.org and learn all about it. New from EWTN Publishing, Jesus, the Master Psychologist. Listen to Him by Dr. Ray Guarendi. In these pages, Dr. Ray explores the teachings of both modern psychology and Jesus Christ to identify the therapy tools worth employing and those we should avoid. He helps us understand that every tool and counseling guideline worth pursuing can find its roots directly in the words of Christ. Dr. Ray's experience as a father of 10 and his mastery of the New Testament enable him to provide recommendations for dealing with numerous daily issues, including transforming your natural qualities into supernatural qualities, methods for overcoming jealousy and other passions, the rearing and benefits of raising problem children, and many others. Jesus, the Master Psychologist. Listen to Him by Dr. Ray Guarendi. Available now at EWTNRC.com. By Catholic, shop EWTNRC.com.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560.
773-278-4560. And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. So the first reading today is really interesting. It's a reading I refer to all the time. I use often my own words because I'm not one of these, what do they say, what was Christina, photogenic?
Photographic memory.
Photographic memory. But to communicate the...
Because she is photogenic. She's just not...
Yeah, exactly. But this is the first reading today, so I just shared with you the gospel. But this is Paul. This is from the Acts of the Apostles, and... this is St. Paul speaking to the priests of the church at Ephesus. He summoned the priests, and when they came to him, he addressed them, and he says, "You know how I lived among you the whole time from the day I first came to the province of Asia. I served the Lord with all humility and with the tears and trials that came to me because of the plots of the Jews." The Jews, because he was Jewish, they were Jewish. It was that the primitive church was Jewish, and so... It was many of the Jews didn't accept Jesus as a Messiah. Paul was the great persecutor of the Jews, of the Christians, rather, the Jews who became Christians, who accepted the Messiah. And so once he was imbued with the Spirit of God, he had that encounter with Jesus, and Jesus says, "You know, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And Saul was blinded, and he says, "Who are you?" He says, "I am Jesus, and you're persecuting me." So you're in persecuting the church, and these were the Jews who had accepted Christ were baptized. He said, "In persecuting you, you're persecuting me in persecuting my body, the church." So then, when he was converted, he became the great apostle to the Gentiles. Anyway, he goes on to say that I served the Lord with all humility and with the tears and trials that came to me. And I did not at all shrink from telling you what was for your benefit or from teaching you in public or in your homes. I earnestly bore witness for both Jews and Greeks to repentance before God and to faith in our Lord Jesus. But now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. What will happen to me there, I do not know, except that in one city after another, the Holy Spirit has been warning me that imprisonment and hardships await me. Yet I consider life of no importance to me, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to bear witness to the gospel of God's grace. But now I know that none of you to whom I preached the kingdom during my travels will ever see my face again. And so I solemnly declare to you this day, now he's speaking to the priests in Ephesus, I solemnly declare to you this day that I am not responsible for the blood of any of you, for I did not shrink from proclaiming to you the entire plan of God. So he says, if it goes on, or did I miss that? I don't have my Bible with me right now. So if you go on, so that's where it ends for today.
Right.
But if you go on, maybe tomorrow it's got, let's see. Here we go. In any case, it goes on, I think tomorrow, that's 20, 28, 29. I'm sorry here. No, so this, oh, wait, there we go, 20, 27. So here he goes. Keep, this will be a continuation tomorrow.
Right.
Keep watch over yourselves and over the whole flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you overseers, in which you tend the church of God, that he acquired with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come among you, and they will not spare the flock. And from your own group, men will come forward perverting the truth to draw the disciples away after them. So be vigilant and remember that for 3 years, night and day, I unceasingly admonished each of you with tears. And now I commend you to God and to that gracious word of his that can build you up and give you the inheritance among all who are consecrated. I have never wanted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You know well that these very hands have served my needs and my companions. In every way, I have shown you that by hard work of that sort, we must help the weak and keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had finished speaking, he knelt down and prayed with them all. They were all weeping loudly as they threw their arms around Paul and kissed him, for they were deeply distressed that he had said that they would never see his face again. Then they escorted him to the ship. Sounds like Frodo now, the Lord of the Rings. But the point is that's why this time right now is a time of, should be a time of great awakening. So we want to really pray that the Holy Spirit awaken us to the great gift that's been given to us and who we are, not only by God's grace for God and for ourselves and our salvation, but for that of others as well. All right, everybody, thanks for being with us. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? The inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now.